Hi, friends. You're listening to Smark and Friends on LoveWrestling.ca, and I just want to say that I love you for that. But my guests on today's episode have a few visual demos that they actually want to share with you. So if you want to keep listening, that's awesome. I encourage you to keep doing so. But if you want to check out, take a closer look at Micro Titans Wrestling, Micromania, you're going to want to do so at youtube.com/lovewrestlingca. Either way, whether you're listening or whether you're watching, I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen and or watch this episode of Smark and Friends. Back in a jiffy. Welcome to the wrestling show that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on LoveWrestling.ca. My name is Zach and I'll be your host. I found a really cool project on Kickstarter that I want to talk to you about today. It's a tabletop board game that's stylized in pro wrestling gameplay. Now, you know I love professional wrestling, but I also really love tabletop gaming. So backing this one was an absolute no-brainer, but I went a step further, and I've invited the developers to join me on today's show. I'm speaking to Stephen Dalton and Dante Richardson, who are joining me from the other side of the planet here on today's episode of Smark and Friends. We talk gameplay, we talk demos, we take a close look at what contents are in the box. It's a very beautiful game with some absolutely fantastic art. We talk about their Kickstarter campaign and how that's going. That, of course, ends March 31st, and the link to the Kickstarter itself is going to be in the description, whatever platform you're listening to or watching this on right now. So please be sure to check that out. Link in description. We're also going to talk about some of the really cool people who are involved in the development process of the game, including the one and only Joe Hendry. We're going to talk about all that good stuff right after this message. But first, got to thank the good people who keep the lights on here at Love Wrestling. I'm, of course, talking about Manscaped.com. Manscaped. Let me just pull up the ad read. Let me save myself the. It's been a day. I hope you're all having good days. I had a good day, but it's been a busy and maybe I'm a little bit frazzled. So I'm just gonna rely on the old clipboard with the ad read here, because support for Love Wrestling is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the waist grooming, champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. That line I'll never forget. I love the wordplay on that one. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, and you can join the other 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. So this is what we're going to do for you. We got a little offer for you. Head over to manscaped.com. Use our promo code LOVEWRESTLING. You're going to get 20% off your order, whether you're ordering the Lawnmower 4.0 or just something small like the Ball Reviver. Whatever it is, 20% off your order. And one step further, it's free shipping wherever you are on the globe. So check that out, manscaped.com, our promo code LOVEWRESTLING. Your balls will thank you. We're back after this message.
Hello, friends. Spencer Love here to interrupt your drive time commute or your regularly scheduled podcast listen to tell you about Love Wrestling, the brand new destination to find out more about what you love in the squared circle. We've got previews, reviews, breaking news, interviews, opinion pieces, features, and more all under one convenient location. Head to lovewrestling.ca, youtube.com/lovewrestlingca, or your preferred podcast player of choice, because you want to check out what you love about pro wrestling.
And we are back. Joining me today are the developers of Micro Titans Wrestling, Micromania. Introducing first from Leeds, the vision holder and creator, Stephen Dalton. How are you, friend?
Hey, doing very good, thanks. Excited to talk to you guys about our little pet project here.
Micromania. Can't wait to pick your brain all about this. Secondly, one of the game's collaborators and editors with our friends at Inside the Ropes magazine from Middlesbrough, Dante Richardson. Friends, how you both doing?
We're good, really man. We're excited to tell you about.
Yeah, glad to have you. Thank you so much for making time. You know, it's one of the conveniences of like this remote recording era. Like I was before everything, went south. I was always focused on recording with people in Montreal and whatnot. But it's great to speak with content creators, creating wrestling content all around the globe.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I mean, it's taken down a door that was previously pretty big and hard to get around. It'd be quite a trip for us to bring one of these over to Quebec to speak with you.
You know, maybe a few years down the road or whatnot.
Yeah, I'm done.
So again, gentlemen, I want to pick your brain all about Micro Titans Wrestling. But first, you know, it's been something of a hot week for professional wrestling. We had a great pay-per-view at it with AEW. We are, of course, on the road to WWE WrestleMania. What's got your eyes on wrestling these days? Dante, I'll defer to you first.
Sure. Well, it's got to be Steve Austin, right? I mean, he's, as we record this, he's just put a video out saying he's going to be at WrestleMania, and I think everyone's kind of wondering what he's going to do. From the sound of it, it sounds like he's going to wrestle, which, you know, if you'd said at the start of the year that Austin would be wrestling at Mania, Cody would be leaving AEW, you know, it'd be, you'd get good odds on it, right? People would think you were crazy. So, yeah, I think it's a fascinating time. WWE's making some big moves at the moment. They kind of have to because AEW is so hot, and it's the best it's been since, what, 98, probably, I would say. So, good time to be a wrestling fan, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny that, like, Cody Rhodes is debuting, Steve Austin is coming back, all before Veer can even get on screen with all these Veer is coming vignettes.
He's Emelina too, isn't he? You know, he's got no chance. Bless him.
I don't know. I feel kind of bad for the guy. He's kind of like a meme more than he's seen as a wrestler. Hopefully that changes for him.
Look, he might get over as a result of it, though. Like, that might be the genius idea is, you know, we'll build up to him so much, and when he eventually arrives, people go crazy. Or he'll be like Glacier and, you know, no one cares. Oh.
I'm not having Glacier slander on the Smart Conference.
I won't slander him, bro. Like, I love Glacier. Mortal Kombat wrestling, you know, fantastic. I'm all up for that. But yeah, they didn't use him brilliantly, did they?
I have to agree to that. Steven, what's on your screens these days?
So I've just finished, just before we got on here, watching AEW Revolution. I don't watch a lot of modern wrestling, but that absolutely blew me away. I mean, I've been a Danielson fan since his early Ring of Honor days, a Punk fan since his early Ring of Honor days, and the days of Punk versus Joe, and this show just absolutely blew my mind. I didn't know wrestling was up at that level right now.
Absolutely.
My go-to stuff is late 80s, early 90s, nostalgia, WWF. Like, I watched Rumble 92 over the weekend, and I've never been happier.
Right on. I mean, you talked about Ring of Honor. They had that great throwback with Punk coming out to the AFI song, Miseria Cantare. Man, I don't know about you, but I had full goosebumps during that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I had it spoiled for me prior because I saw a picture of it, but I didn't know he came out to the music as well as in the white gear, the shorts and everything. He looked so right, so good. And it what was, a match as well, man.
Oh,
Ring of
Honor's
another
match.
One, though, right? Like, Tony Khan's just bought Ring of Honor. I mean, it's...
yeah.
A ridiculous time. It really is. But yeah, that was a hell of a show. That was a hell of a show.
It really was. And I'm really excited about this whole Ring of Honor prospect. I thought there would be some maybe influence, maybe a couple run-ins during the pay-per-view, but by no means was I disappointed by that card. It was a hell of a show. But Steven, you were just talking about the you know, golden age of wrestling. Your game's aesthetic kind of takes clues from the golden era, you know, Haas-sized wrestlers, big colorful costumes on the avatars themselves. So was this the era that you both started watching? Dante, I'll ask you first.
Yeah, I've been watching since 91, which is kind of when it got big over here in the UK. I know it was kind of dying, you know, in North America at that point because of all the various controversies and things like that. But yeah, in the UK, wrestling was red hot in 91, 92. And I think that's kind of when everyone over here got into it, either then or in 2000 when it started to air on sort of regular, your equivalent of network TV, I guess. It got big again. So yeah, I love that era. It's the era I revisit more than anything. You know, I can watch The Warlord and Giant Gonzalez, you know, all day long, and would choose that head of modern New Japan. You know, I'm that guy. And so is Steve. So, you know, it's an era we love. It's just so colorful. It's so bright. It's so much fun. It's so innocent still as well. And it's so, like, it's proper wrestling, proper stories.
I imagine, like, the colorful, well, again, you speak in high regard of the era. Must be why you chose that era for the aesthetic of the game. Yeah, Steven?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's not just the nostalgia for us, although some of my earliest memories are of watching like Survivor Series 89, 90 with my older cousin who was introducing me to it, and seeing these larger than life superhero characters absolutely blasting each other in the ring. It was so out of this world and so cartoony, but in a believable in your 10-year-old head way. So yeah, that's what we hold fondest. I think Micromania for us is a love letter to that era. It's us living that nostalgia and hoping that other people can get hold of it as well, and offering a way for people to revisit that era.
Absolutely. I loved exploring the artwork on the Kickstarter. It truly just resonates like 80s/early 90s pro wrestling. Dan, was that important to you as well, that particular aesthetic?
Yeah, Matt, because that's what everyone's nostalgic for, right? You know, it's no, people aren't nostalgic for 2010. Not yet. You know, there might be in 20 years. I don't know. I mean, my wife started watching in 2005, and I always ask her, like, how did you even get into wrestling? Like, why did you even start liking it? You know, because by then I was, you know, I was like, oh man, it's not as good as it used to be. But no, it was very much a let's start at this era that we love so much. It's so easy to represent that, I think, with the game, because like we've said, there's a lot of colors, there's a lot of sort of muscles rippling, you know, there's a lot of that kind of, you know, aesthetic it's immediately apparent when you see it, you know, so it does work. It does work very well for the game. It lends itself well to being reproduced in that kind of form. And, you know, when we were coming up with the game, I think we had a day when we were going through the moves, and I remember we were talking and just said, like, look, let's just go through Survivor Series 87, 88, 89. And if a move doesn't appear on those shows, let's just not have the move in the game, you know? So it's got to be stuff that you could have in the 80s. So there's no, you know, twisted moonsaults, there's no dives, there's none of that in the first season of Micro Titans.
No, stacked Canadian destroyers from the top turnbuckle off of their other opponent's back.
No, not yet. But the ironic thing is, like, Steve and I, and we do kayfabe this sometimes, but we did used to be wrestlers in the UK for a few years, and that's the kind of stuff we used to do. Like, we used to beat the shit out of each other, you know, repeatedly on a weekly basis, and it's one of our go-to high spots was the destroyer off the top, you know. So it's like, but we hate that shit, and it's like, well, let's not do that. Maybe in the indie edition of the game 10 years down the line, eh?
Future season of the game.
Exactly.
So yeah, let's actually talk about that. You know, you just mentioned that maybe in 10 years we'll get an indie, but you refer to Micromania as season one of the game. What other eras are you maybe entertaining for future seasons of Micro Titans Wrestling?
So the eras that we've identified in the Kickstarter as the stretch goals that we want to unlock up towards 400% and 500% of funding are the new generation era, which we're calling In Your Pocket. We're very proud of that one.
Very clever.
And
I like it.
So that covers 92, 93 through to 97. And then the third season would be during the Monday Night Wars. So you'll have that attitude era sort of thing. You'll have the more in your face characters, the heels, the tweeners, I want to say the Austins, but we're obviously not going to have Austin. That's going to be the Monday Micro season. We've not settled in anything after 2000 yet. The ruthless aggression sort of era. If you think of any micro style puns, we'd be happy to hear them though.
listeners, viewers, please drop them in the comments. Hopefully we can get some good material for future use on Micro Titans Wrestling. So again, we've talked visuals, but let's go brass tacks here. Steven, your own words, how do you describe Micro Titans Wrestling?
I think love letter definitely comes close. It's a simple card game. It's not a roll and move game that you used to play in as a kid. It's not a complicated card game that takes half an hour, 2 hours to learn. It's something you can pick up the rules for, you can have a scan over them, and you're done. You can play. And at that point, it becomes a party with you, your opponent, the people that are watching. And it's like watching a pay-per-view with your friends, because you're watching this match happen. You're seeing reactions from your opponent. You're getting reactions out of yourself. you're popping for things you do, and then when it gets reversed or completely nullified by your opponent, like, you're seething that they've just turned heel on you. I've had plenty of games where Dan's done that to me. Our friendship's been fractured for a couple of minutes or hours. Depends how smug he gets with it. It's a party game, I would say. It's not just fun to play, it's fun to watch. We've had people gathered around a table at a wedding watching a couple of people play the game, pop in for the high spots and pop in for kickouts and pop in for the big turnarounds and big moves in the game. It's just so much fun.
I mean, a good tabletop does have that potential to ruin a friendship or at least do some long-term damage. Dante, what other tabletops do you think it compares to in that regard, in like the friendship destroyer scale?
It's sort of Monopoly on crack. You know, it's worse than that. Like, honestly, the amount of, like, we've been friends for a long, long time, and there's been times where I'm like, just get the fuck out of my house.
He's not lying.
When you're winning, and you really, like, I'm a terrible winner and a worse loser, actually, but I am a terrible winner. And, you know, when you're winning, I always think you've got to play along and be smug and a real jerk about it. And, you know, so I'm beating him, and, you know, I've got all these points and he's got nothing, and I'm going to put him away, and I'm just a real jerk. Like, oh, I'm going to play this now. And, you know, and then somehow he finds a way to jammily find his way back, and, you know, he can't be pinned, and now he's suddenly got this and done this, and was holding on to this card, and I'm just like, you piece of... And then he'll come back and win, and I'll just, you know, throw the game on the floor and tell him it's a shit game and we shouldn't have come up with it in the first place, and storm out the room, you know. But in reality, that's what makes it so great. Like, it does, you genuinely get butterflies in your stomach when you know you're about to play this, you've got this card, and you really want to screw with your friends. That's why the whole game's about it. How can I fuck my friend in the most hilarious way possible? And that's what it is. And it amuses others. And, like, I've seen people, you know, cheering, jumping up and down. Genuinely, you know, that is without hyperbole. Like, I've seen people react in that way because they're so sort of into what's happening. They're invested. And it's like a wrestling match. You know, you're invested, you suspend your disbelief, and you believe that this is really happening. And, you know, in the same way that the game itself is structured to be like a wrestling match, you know, it starts with kind of the shine and goes into a heat, and, you know, back and forth taking over before the big finish sequence at the end. So,
right on.
That wasn't as succinct as I thought it might be.
Hey, we love the details here on the podcast, on the show. But with that in mind, I mean, Steven, you've got a tabletop set up of Micromania just to your side. I'm wondering if you could maybe take the time to walk us through some of the gameplay mechanics, maybe show off some of the stuff that we're going to be seeing when we're unboxing Micromania.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. I can show you a few of the cards that have actually driven Dan to almost breaking point.
This is so cool, man. This is just so cool.
And just to go back to something that Dan said earlier, like, he will kick me out of his house, or he'll leave the room. He'll ask me to leave, but 2 minutes later, he'll come back around the corner and say, let's make it a best of three. It is an addictive game as well. There are points that, like, we've never had the same game twice. We've played through it so many times, and there's just so many twists and turns, and the high spots come at different times, and we've got these wild cards that you can play once in a game, and as infuriating as it is, it's hard not to want one more game. But yeah, that's not what you asked for at all. Let me show you
the game. No, it's okay. No, once again, I love these stories. Like, you got me chomping at the bit. I want to get bitter with my friends over a game of Micromania. So what you got here? This is a really good looking game set.
All right, let me figure this light out real quick.
Yeah, take your time.
Okay, so this is everything you would get in the game, plus the premium extras that we have available on Kickstarter right now. I should probably say the Kickstarter's active at the moment until the 31st of March. So in the box, you will get your two character pins. For each boxed release we put out, there's going to be two different characters. We've got 10 characters for Season 1, so the idea is to have two headlining Micromania, and then four further expansions with the additional eight having two of them headline each.
Now, I got a quick question. Like, I'm a big enamel pin guy. I like wearing pins. Are these wearable?
Absolutely, they are. Yep.
Got the beautiful.
Two clasps on the back. We've got additional stretch goals to add new pins. So we have a Micro Titans Wrestling heavyweight champion belt that if we hit a certain funding level, we're going to put in the box for everyone that gets it from now until forever. We've got 20 additional characters coming with the next two seasons. Your thirst for pins is going to be very well quenched.
Excellent.
The microweight belt is also our health counter. So this just counts up and down your health. It goes through 99 through to zero.
Clever.
The idea is to get your opponent down to zero or close so they're pinnable. I'll take you through pins in a sec.
Yeah.
You get dice that are color-coded to the box. You get 80 move cards. I'll take you through a few of these. So they start with simple damage. The gray cards are ones and twos. You've got your snapmare, your arm drag, one and two. The blues are threes and fours, your abdominal stretch and your body slam. You'll notice these are all moves from the era. Greens, Boston Crab for five, shoulder breaker for six. Purple, it starts getting a bit dicey. Seven for a bear hug, eight for a DDT. And we've got the powerbomb and the pile driver, which are 10s. And something that we've been playing with recently, so we said that 10 should be the most damage you could ever do. Dan being the little devil in my ear that he is, always playing devil's advocate, said we need some 15s, so we got the chair shot and the brass knuckles. And oh boy, when you get a double damage high spot and they come out, that's one of those situations where you can maybe not talk to each other for a couple of turns.
Just play in resolute silence.
Yeah. So additional to the move cards, we've got high spots. I'll take you through when these are played once I've showed you the cards, if that's cool.
Yeah, of course, please.
These are wildly varied. There's no kind of general way to say what the high spots are other than to say they change the flow of the game. Most of the time, they'll change who's leading if it's quite close, or they can give you a good chance at coming back if you're behind. The immovable object, if you roll a 6-6 while this card's out, your health gets doubled. Another thing that's kind of evolved recently in the game as well is that the high spots used to not quite be high spots. They were just situations in the game. So it would be all moves that are done are reduced in damage by one, or all removes are increased by one. And we figured it was Joe Hendry that helped us finally figure this one out. We figured that they're not high spots. High spots are big events in the match that people would pop for. So now every one of these high spots can drastically affect the game, and most of them are in effect for the person that plays them only. So if I pull out a high spot, most of the time it would be in my opponent Dan's interest to get that high spot off the table at the very first opportunity. Yeah, I'll take you through a few more.
Yeah.
The cutoff lets you reactivate any high spot from the deck. Double Jeopardy. This is one of the few negative cards that we have. You get another wild card, but your opponent takes two. Wild cards are excellent and awful at the same time. Dan can tell you how brutal they are. We had a game where he played six in a row on me recently. I can't remember if I still beat you. I don't think I did I?
You never beat me, bro.
I'll show you a few wild cards as well. So the wild
even
cards
through a little can... play, little demonstration of the mechanics. There's trash talking.
That's just how he talks to me all the time. So the wild cards, these are the absolute game changers. These can flip the game on its head in an instant. They can end your friendship for days. So the Feast or Famine just lets you double your health or halve your opponent's, and you play it immediately. I mean, that's your opponent down to half health out the gates. You're at the advantage. But maybe they'd come back by playing this one. Play the top five move cards from the discard pile. If you see two tens and an eight have just come out recently, you play them. And you're back in the game. Running on fumes, when you're at 13 health or lower, your damage is multiplied by five. Overbooked, turn over a high spot and play five move cards. They're all big situations. They have a big effect on the game.
These are so cool. So well thought out.
the idea, like there's a lot on the table there, but one of the core concepts when we've been coming up with a game from the very start, like a year ago, is that it's got to be simple. You've got to be able to read the rule book and just play. We don't want people interrupting the frantic, frenetic game, the back and forth, to check on a rule. So we wanted something that's simple, and we think we've achieved it. So the idea is you would roll your dice in the dice tray. If you roll a 7, you have to play your high spot. If you roll a double, you can choose to play either 2 move cards or your high spot. Anything else, so 1 through 6, that's not a double, and anything above 7, you play 1 move, and that's it. To start the game, you take the top 3 move cards, and you've got the top high spot. That's your hand. You always replenish your hand to 3 moves and 1 high spot when you're playing. And you also get your 1 wild card, which you can play at any time. It's good to just save your wild card, even if it's not something for the late game. It's good to just save it to watch the other person sweat while they're thinking about what it could be. I know Dan hates it when I've got 2 wild cards turned over. He doesn't know what they are. That's a fun one to watch him sweat out. The only other part of the game is the end game when you're playing for pinfalls. So when you have your opponent down to 0 health, if you are rolling for doubles at that point, any double that's higher than your opponent's health pins them. They then get 3 chances to kick out of that pin by rolling a double or higher than your double. And something we added kind of late in the game, or late in the development of the game, is when you're on 0 health, no one plays any moves. So that pinfall back and forth is like, it's an exchange of pins, or it's an exchange at the end of the match. It's just really frantic. You're both rolling against each other, and it gets the heart racing, definitely.
Matt, you talked about like the pace of this game being very quick. How long would like one game of this traditionally go?
The idea was it would last 8 to 12 minutes. We've had maybe 80% of our game have fit within that window. I was at Dan's house 2 days ago, and we had a 40-minute match.
I love that, man. I love games that could like go one way or the other in regards to length. Just makes everything like just so dynamic in the gameplay.
Yeah, it can absolutely last a long time. We've sent a few prototypes out to people, and we've heard of games lasting up to an hour. However, we do have a couple of high spot cards that can reduce that quite a bit. We do have 2 cards in the deck that just flip the game on its head completely. We've got the Finger Poke of Doom. We are delighted with the name of it. So if anyone rolls double 1 while this card is out, they go to 1 health straight away. hilariously, it can work in your favor as well. If you're on 0 health and you're unable to play any moves, and this card's out, you can go up to 1 health, play a move, pin your opponent. It's not often, but it can work in your favor. And we've got the Montreal card, which is my favorite. If anybody rolls a 1-1, they lose.
Well, I got to appreciate that there's a Montreal card here. That's fantastic.
Of course.
That is very cool. Now, you talked about the prototypes. You've been gracious enough to actually send me a copy. I'm expecting it to show up sometime late this week, early next. Is this like a bit of a preview of what my unboxing video might look like?
Absolutely. You'll have everything here apart from the dice tray and the playmat, unfortunately. It was a little bit too pricey for us to get 50 of those made too. So you'll be getting everything that's in the box. But yeah, we'd love to see you have a look through all the cards, and hopefully we'll get some more reactions out of you when you read some of their names and effects.
Oh, I'm going to have a blast. One of my neighbors happens to be one of the people who work here with us here at Love Wrestling. So I'm going to take the time to do a gameplay video with him and whatnot.
That would be incredible.
Dude, this is a good looking game and looks like tremendous fun. I gotta ask, how are you feeling about the progress over on Kickstarter right now?
It's going well. We were hoping maybe it would snowball a little bit more than it has. Our minimum goal for yesterday was to get it funded 10%, which it just hit this morning. So we're a tiny bit behind. We're hoping for 25% by this time next week, 50% the following week, and then 100% the week after that, which leaves us 3 more days to reach the stretch goals. Yeah, obviously it would have been lovely if it got funded on day one, but life
that's always
work
a challenge.
That way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's a bit of a challenge, certainly.
Yeah. We're confident it'll get there though.
Yeah. I have friends who don't watch wrestling. In fact, I talked to a lot of them on this podcast about things that are like peripherally related to wrestling. I'm confident my gamer friends would be enthusiastic about a game of this scale, of this pace. Like, this is exciting stuff.
Awesome. That's so good to hear, man. I mean, we've poured our heart into this for the last year, and it's so gratifying to people say that they like it. It's music to my ears. You're going to make me weep.
Dante, you've been very hands-on in the development process yourself. How have you been feeling about the evolution of Micro Titans Wrestling?
I think it's come an awful long way from where we started with a couple of bits of sort of cut-out paper and, you know, using little Hasbro figures as the character pins. So, yeah, it's come a long way. You know, it was one of those things where it was like, let's just do it. Let's see how far we can get. The things we don't know how to do, we'll figure out. Like, where do we get cards printed? Where do we get, you know, purple and yellow dice from? How do we get a logo? All that kind of stuff. How can we make the hit counters look like wrestling related rather than just being, you know, just random numbers, things like that. So, yeah, it's come an awful long way. I'm very pleased with how it's come on. I think there's been a couple of times where Steve's sort of gone, oh, how about this idea? And I'm like, no, don't change it. Like, don't change anything. I'm always reluctant to change. And then inevitably we'll do it and I'll go, yeah, okay, that is better actually. So it's been an ongoing process like that, to be honest. But yeah, I'm very excited about how it's come. We used to think it was great before it was really great, I think. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of demoed it a little bit more and we needed that. We needed that negative feedback because when you play it with sort of your close friends and family, all you get is, oh, that's so cool. And they're just kind of overawed that there's a real life physical thing that you've created using your brain, right? But when you start demoing it to people who don't give a shit about you, then you do get some actual useful feedback. So that helped a lot, and we found a lot of problems, and I think we spent a 4-hour car journey just rewriting half of the cards, just going, look, this doesn't work. We got it all prototyped at that point, prototype one, and we were like, this doesn't work, these high spots aren't high enough, these wild cards aren't wild enough, like the excitement's, it's no good being able to tell people this game's really exciting if this happens. It needs to be exciting the whole time, every time, for everybody, which it wasn't, but now it is. So yeah, I'm really pleased with how it's come.
That is too cool, man. Like, I've been looking at the Kickstarter. I've been looking at, like, the team that you have supporting the development. You got some really cool people. I want to, like, give you a moment to shout them out in just a bit. But first, Steven, you mentioned that Joe Hendry had a serious hand in development of the game. First thing I want to know, is Joe Hendry a tabletop gamer himself?
As far as I'm aware, absolutely not. But we think that 100% plays into our favor. Cause I'm not a big gamer. Dan's not a big gamer, tabletop game wise. So we didn't have restrictions on us of what's expected of tabletop games or how mechanics should work. That was all on us to figure out and to put in the context of a professional wrestling match, which we think we've achieved. But if we were limited by the fact that we played tabletop games every day, I don't think we'd have come to the same decisions that we have. Because we do have some cards in there that if you were a seasoned tabletop gamer, maybe you'd get a little bit mad if the Montreal came out and you just lost the game and you were completely obliterating your opponent. But, I mean, that can happen in pro wrestling matches, right?
So,
I mean,
that was Brett,
look at the Montreal screw job.
That was Brett.
So yeah, Joe's not a big tabletop gamer. He's big into his video games, and he does have a mind for that kind of metagame side of like roleplay games. Final Fantasy is one he brought up. Like he loves the battles in Final Fantasy and in RPGs and in video games because they're tailored to be winnable and to be enticing to the player and to always be fun. Whereas we had cards that he identified were dull. Like, for instance, the damage is reduced for everyone by one. It was just it was tedious, but we were so into the game at that point, Dan and I, that we couldn't pull ourselves back out and see that. We just thought, everyone's going to be punished for a few turns. That's going to be cool, right? When in fact, it wasn't. And when Joe actually said this, he was losing a game, and that came out for him. And then another card came out that was not in his favor, because they were 50-50. There was 50% bad, 50% good. And he stepped back and he was just like, look, guys, the game's awesome, but I don't want to play this game anymore. I'm done. I just want to shuffle the cards, start again. And that's not really acceptable in a board game. You've got to want to play every time. You've got to want to turn over every single card, and you've got to be excited for every move that you're going to make. And the 4-hour card journey, where we rewrote pretty much all of the high spots, was off the back of Joe saying that. So we ditched all of the non-high spot high spots, and we just figured every single one, someone's got to pop for these cards, whether it's you or whether it's your opponent. Like, they've got to get a reaction out of someone. So there's nothing dull in there now. Every single high spot, you want to play it. You want the risk of turning over a good one versus a bad one, because you know it's heavily in your favor. And if you do turn over a good one, it's overwhelmingly in your favor. And you want to see what's coming out next. If you've not been through the full high spot deck before, like, you want to read them all. You want to see what the cards are.
Very cool. Oh man, I'm so excited about this. But again, before we really head towards the end of our conversation here, I do understand, like, you have a really awesome team, and Dante, I understand a lot of people, or a small handful of people, actually come from Inside the Ropes magazine as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a good team here at ITR. You know, we've got a magazine, we've got live tours, we've got a website. You know, we've got people working on all kinds of different things. So it's quite a good focus group, because it's all wrestling related, right? And all kind of people, they'll hate me for saying this, but roughly our generation as well, you know, for the most part. But some of them are actually in the early 20s, so they will hate that. But yeah, they're a really sort of useful focus group to have of people of, you know, different sort of wrestling fandom backgrounds. Some people who aren't big fans of the 80s and 90s, or, you know, wouldn't know the Warlords if he was in a lineup, sort of thing. So playing with them was helpful, very helpful. And, you know, we got a lot of great feedback from that crew, and, you know, a lot of support once it goes, you know, once Kickstarter went live as well, in terms of pushing it out and letting the world know about it. So, and, you know, we did a feature in the magazine about it as well, to sort of spread the message, I guess. And yeah, it's been great. Friends of ITR as well have chipped in and helped out, and are in the process of doing so. So it's been very useful to have that.
Very cool. Very cool. And Stephen, you were telling me before we went on air about your stateside artist.
Oh, absolutely. Every time I get an email from Carlos Aurelio, our artist who's over in Florida, it blows my mind. He's so talented. He's worked professionally in art for quite a while, I think. He's worked with Marvel. He's worked creating wrestling art. And if you just look at the box art for this, man, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, we asked him to capture the late 80s, early 90s cartoonish superhero villain versus good guy feel. And you look at the two on the cover, he's absolutely smashed that out of the park.
Absolutely. Like, that just, it's, you look at that, you know the style, you know the era, and you know the, well, the medium, wrestling and gaming.
Yeah, I'm over the moon that we found him. He's a big asset.
It is absolutely marvelous. Friends, this was an absolute awesome conversation. I am so excited about this game. As I'll reiterate that, of course, it is on Kickstarter. You can fund Micro Titans Wrestling, Micromania, on Kickstarter until the end of March. And of course, I'll give the floor to you to shout out anyone else we might want to thank for this episode. And of course, drop important links, including social media. Dan, I will start with you. I'm going to give you the big screen right there.
I don't bother with social media, but you can you can buy the magazine from InsideTheRopesMagazine.com if you're interested. There's always lots of fantastic things from some fantastic writers every month. So, and I believe you can buy it on the shelves in Canada, actually, in select stores. So, there you go. Keep your eye out for it if you're wandering around in Canada and the States.
Absolutely. I haven't seen it around here myself, but I happen to be in like just a void of anything relevant in regards to.
I think it's just in sort of like one big star in each big city, from what I understand in Canada. But I don't know.
There we go.
Unfortunately.
And kudos on the wisdom of staying away from social media. I wish I had that privilege myself.
Oh well, I have social media. I just refuse to use it because I think it's the modern scourge. You know.
I think you are absolutely right, Stephen. The floor is yours.
The biggest thank you I want to give out right now is to the people that have backed the project already. We're hearing so much feedback, so much good feedback, so much excitement from people who want to get the game in their hands. And my God, we want to get the game in your hands as well. So yeah, the people that backed it day one, day two, or the first week, thank you so much. Carlos, you can check out his stuff at carlosaurelio.art on Instagram. Highly recommend you do that. He puts good stuff out every day. And if you want to give us a follow on Instagram or Twitter, we are at MicroTitanMania. Let us know what you think of the game. Any ideas you have, any suggestions, feedback, we'd love to hear it all. We know the game's great, but we know it's not quite finished yet, so we'll take on board everything that the community can throw at us, and we'll make some decisions to make it the best possible wrestling game anyone's ever seen.
Tremendous. Once again, this was Stephen Dalton and Dante Richardson discussing Micro Titans Wrestling Micromania, currently on Kickstarter. Do check that out. Gentlemen, I thank you both for your time and taking the time to speak with me today.
It's been our pleasure. Can't wait to see what you make of the game when you get it in your hands.
Me as well.
Yeah, film yourself playing the game. We want to see it in action.
That is very much the plan. We're going to get the wordsmith from the Love Wrestling team. We're going to get some cameras set up, and we're going to get a couple solid playthroughs of Micro Titans Wrestling, and I'm so excited for it.
Just make sure you've got nothing that requires you to be in the same room tomorrow, the day after.
Solid advice for a game of such caliber.
Awesome. Thank you, mate.
Additional support at Love Wrestling is brought to you by RK Athletics. If you're in the Edmonton area, we implore that you reach out to Rich King to start pursuing your fitness goals, whatever they might be. Visit rkathletics.ca. They've got a really nice little questionnaire. And the big important question is, what are your goals? And whatever they might be, let Rich King know and start chasing them today. Start chasing your dreams with RK Athletics. And I'd also be remiss if I didn't talk about this little shirt that I'm wearing right now. After a few years, Smark and Friends finally has its first t-shirt in its official merch lineup. It's available at the Love Wrestling store at whatamaneuver.net. We got lots of really cool shirts and merch available at that store, but I'm particular about the Smark and Friends t-shirt myself. I'm full-on biased. I don't mind telling you so. Yeah, so once again, I want to thank Stephen Dalton and Dante Richardson of the Micro Titans Wrestling Micromania development team for taking the time to speak with me and joining me on the show today. And again, big thanks for the kindness that they've done. They're sending me the game prototype, which I don't have my hands on just yet, but keep an eye. We're going to be making content out of that. I don't know if it's going to be just an unboxing, but we're certainly going to do a playthrough. Might be on Smark and Friends, might be on Blowing Off Stream here on Love Wrestling, but I'm excited to play the game. And I'm excited to continue sharing that game with all of you. So once again, the Kickstarter is running till March 31st, so please check it out. It's in the link description at the very bottom, or just head over to kickstarter.com, search Micro Titans Wrestling Micromania. It's 2022, you know how a search engine works. And if you really like what you heard, please head over to ratethispodcast.com/lovewrestlingca. You're not rating just Smark and Friends, you're also rating the content being built very proudly here at Love Wrestling. We're of course talking about Between Two Beards, Power Out, NXT, we're talking about Spencer Love interviews, Friend or Foe with Cody Defoe, all that good stuff being built very proudly here at lovewrestling.ca. Follow the show on social media. Smark and Friends is on Facebook and on Twitter at Smark and Friends. You can follow my personal account on Twitter at SmarkMouth and at Smark.Mouth on Instagram. And you can follow at lovewrestling.ca on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you so much for catching my conversation with Stephen Dalton and Dante Richardson of the Micro Titans Wrestling Development Team. We're going to be back next week. Till then, friends.